Chapter 70. The gates were motorized, driven by electricity. That was Reacher's first absurd conclusion. They were moving slowly but smoothly, a consistent speed. Too smooth and too consistent for manual operation. Relentless at about a foot a second. They were already at a right angle to the wall. Each gate was 15 feet wide. 5 yards. The total remaining arc of travel for each of them was therefore about 8 yards, 24 seconds. They were 200 yards away. No problem for a college sprinter on a track. Debatable for a college sprinter in 6 inches of mud. Completely impossible for Reacher. But still he started forward involuntarily, and then slowed as the arithmetic reality hit him. He stopped altogether when he saw 4 figures walk in through the closing gap. He recognized them immediately, by their size and shape and posture and movement. On the right was Thurman. On the left was the giant with the wrench. In the middle was the plant foreman. He was pushing Vaughn in front of him. The 3 men were walking easily. They were dressed in yellow slickers and sou'wester hats and rubber boots. Vaughn had no protection against the weather. She was soaked to the skin. Her hair was plastered against her head. She was stumbling, as if every few paces she was getting a shove in the back. They all kept on coming. Reacher started walking again. The gates closed with a metallic clang that sounded twice, first in real time and then again as an echo. The echo died, and Reacher heard a solenoid open and a bolt shoot home, a loud, precise sound like a single shot from a distant rifle. The 4 figures kept on coming. Reacher kept on walking. They met in the center of the hidden space. Thurman and his men stopped. They stood still, 5 feet short of an imaginary line that ran between the pile of wrecked tanks and the 18-wheeler. Reacher stopped 5 feet on the other side. Vaughn kept on going. She picked her way through the mud and made it to Reacher's side and turned around, put a hand on his arm. 2 against 3. Thurman called,
"What are you doing here?"
Reacher could hear the rain beating against the slickers. 3 guys, 3 sets of shoulders, 3 hats, stiff plastic material. He said,
"I'm looking around."
"At what?"
"At what you've got here."
Thurman said,
"I'm losing patience."
"What's in the truck?"
"What kind of incredible arrogance makes you think you're entitled to an answer to that question?"
"No kind of arrogance," Reacher said. "Just the law of the jungle. You answer, I leave. You don't, I don't."
Thurman said,
"My tolerance for you is nearly exhausted."
"What's in the truck?"
Thurman breathed in, breathed out, glanced to his right at his foreman, and then beyond the foreman at the giant with the wrench. He looked at Vaughn, and then back at Reacher. Reacher said,
"What's in the truck?"
Thurman said,
"There are gifts in the truck."
"What kind?"
"Clothes, blankets, medical supplies, eyeglasses, prosthetic limbs, dried and powdered foodstuffs, purified water, antibiotics, vitamins, sheets of construction-grade plywood, things like that."
"Where from?"
"They were bought with tithes from the people of despair."
"Why?"
"Because Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive."
"Who are the gifts for?"
"Afghanistan. For refugees and displaced persons, and those living in poverty."
"Why is the container welded shut?"
"Because it has a long and perilous journey ahead of it, through many countries and many tribal areas where warlords routinely steal, and padlocks on shipping containers can be broken, as you well know.
Why put it all together here, in secret?
Because Jesus said, when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret. We follow Scripture here, Mr. Reacher, as should you.
Why turn out the whole town in defense of a truck full of gifts?
Because we believe that charity should know neither race nor creed. We give to Muslims, and not everyone in America is happy with that policy. Some feel that we should give only to fellow Christians. An element of militancy has entered the debate, although in fact it was the Prophet Muhammad himself who said a man's first charity should be to his own family, not Jesus. Jesus said, whatever you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. He said, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven.
Where are the cars from Iran?
The what?
The cars from Iran.
Melted down and shipped out.
Where is the TNT?
The what?
You bought 20 tons of TNT from Kearney Chemical 3 months ago. Thurman smiled.
All that. It was a mistake, a typo, a coding error. A new girl in the office was one number off on Kearney's order form. We got TNT instead of TCE. They're adjacent in Kearney's inventory. If you were a chemist, you'd understand why. We sent it back immediately on the same truck. Didn't even unload. If you had troubled yourself to break into invoicing as well as purchasing, you would have seen our application for a credit.
Where is the uranium?
The what?
You pulled 20 tons of depleted uranium out of these tanks, and I just walked all over this compound and I didn't see it.
You're standing on it.
Vaughn looked down. Reacher looked down. Thurman said,
it's buried. I take security extremely seriously. It could be stolen and used in a dirty bomb. The state is reluctant to let the army move it, so I keep it in the ground.
I don't see signs of digging.
It's the rain. Everything is churned up.
Reacher said nothing. Thurman said,
satisfied?
Reacher said nothing. He glanced right at the 18-wheeler, left at the parked backhoe, down at the ground. The rain splashed in puddles all around and thrashed against the slickers 10 feet away.
Satisfied?
Thurman asked again. Reacher said, I might be, after I've made a phone call.
What phone call?
I think you know.
I don't, actually.
Reacher said nothing. Thurman said,
but anyway, this is not the right time for phone calls.
Not the right place, either. I'll wait until I get back to town, or back to Hope, or Kansas.
Thurman turned and glanced at the gate, turned back. Reacher nodded, said,
suddenly you want to check on what numbers I know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think you do.
Tell me.
No.
I want some courtesy and respect.
And I want to hit a grand slam at Yankee Stadium. I think both of us are going to be disappointed.
Thurman said,
turn out your pockets.
Worried about those numbers? Maybe I memorized them.
Turn out your pockets. Make me. Thurman went still, and his eyes narrowed, and debate crossed his face, the same kind of long-range calculus that Reacher had seen before, in front of the airplane hangar. The long game, 8 moves ahead. Thurman spent a second or two on it, and then he stepped back abruptly and raised his right arm. His plastic sleeve came out into the downpour and made noise. He waved his 2 employees forward. They took 2 long strides and stopped again. The plant foreman kept his hands loose at his sides, and the big guy slapped the wrench in and out of his palm, wet metal on wet skin. Reacher said, "Not a fair fight." Thurman said,
"You should have thought about that before."
Reacher said, "Not fair to them. They've been cutting uranium. They're sick."
"They'll take their chances."
"Like Underwood did?"
"Underwood was a fool. I give them respirators. Underwood was too lazy to keep his on."
"Did these guys wear theirs?"
"They don't work in here. They're perfectly healthy."
Reacher glanced at the foreman, and then at the giant, asked, "Is that right? You don't work in here?" Both guys shook their heads. Reacher asked, "Are you healthy?" Both guys nodded. Reacher asked, "You want that state of affairs to last more than the next 2 minutes?" Both guys smiled and moved a step closer. Vaughn said,
"Just do it, Reacher. Turn out your pockets."
"Still looking out for me?"
"It's 2 against 1, and one of them is the same size as you and the other one is bigger."
2 against 2, Reacher said. "You're here."
"I'm no use. Let's just suck it up and move on."
Reacher shook his head and said, "What's in my pockets is my business." The 2 guys took another step. The foreman was on Reacher's right, and the big guy was on his left. Both of them close, but not within touching distance. The rain on their clothing was loud. Water was running out of Reacher's hair into his eyes. He said, "You know, we don't have to do this. We could walk out of here, friends." The foreman said,
"I don't think so."
"Then you won't walk out of here at all."
"Brave talk."
Reacher said nothing. The foreman glanced across at the big guy. He said,
"Let's do it."
"Get your retaliation in first." Reacher fainted left toward the giant. The big guy rocked back, surprised, and the foreman rocked forward toward the action. Momentum moving west, a perfect little ballet. Reacher planted his heel very carefully in the mud and jerked the other way, to his right, to the east, and smashed the foreman in the stomach with his elbow. A 500-pound collision. One guy moving left, one guy moving right, an elbow the size of a pineapple moving fast. The stomach is high in the midsection. Behind it lies the celiac plexus, the largest autonomic nerve center in the abdominal cavity, sometimes called the solar plexus. A heavy blow can shut the whole thing down. Result? Great pain and diaphragm spasms. Consequence? A fall to the ground and a desperate struggle to breathe. The foreman went down. He fell face first into a foot-wide rut filled with water. Reacher kicked him in the side to roll him out of it. He didn't want the guy to drown. He stepped over the writhing form into clear air and glanced around through the bright blue light. Thurman had backed off 20 feet. Vaughn was rooted to the spot. The big guy was crouched 8 feet away, holding his wrench like a cleanup hitter waiting on a high fastball. Reacher kept his eyes on the big guy's eyes and said, "Vaughn, step away. This guy is going to start swinging. He could hit you by mistake." But he sensed Vaughn wasn't moving, so he danced away east, dragging the fight with him. The big guy followed, big feet and rubber boots, splashing awkwardly through standing water. Reacher dodged north toward Thurman. Thurman
backed off again, keeping his distance. Reacher stopped. The big guy wound up for a swing. The huge wrench slashed horizontal at shoulder height. Reacher stepped back a pace, and the wrench missed, and its wild momentum carried the big guy through a complete circle. Reacher backed off another pace. The big guy followed. Reacher stopped. The big guy swung. Reacher stepped back. 30 acres. Reacher wasn't fast, and he wasn't nimble, but he was a lot more mobile than anyone who outweighed him by 100 pounds, and he had the kind of natural stamina that came from being exactly what he was born to be. He wasn't on the downside of 20 years of weight rooms and steroids, unlike his opponent. The big guy was breathing hard, and every missed swing was jacking his fury and his adrenaline rush all the way up to carelessness. Reacher kept on moving and stopping and dodging and stopping again. Eventually, the big guy learned. With his fifth swing, he aimed for a spot 3 feet behind Reacher's back. Reacher saw it coming in the guy's crazed eyes and dodged the other way, forward. The wrench hissed through empty air, and Reacher rolled around the guy's spinning back and bent his knees and smashed his elbow up into the guy's kidney. Then he stepped away, 2 paces, 3, and stood still and shook his arms loose and rolled his shoulders. The big guy turned. His back looked stiff and his knees were weakening. He charged and swung and missed, and Reacher dodged away, like a bullfight. Except the big guy's IQ was marginally higher than a bull's. After a dozen fruitless swings, he recognized that his tactics were futile. He sent the wrench spinning away into the marshy ground and got ready to charge. Reacher smiled, because by then the damage was done. The guy was panting and staggering a little. The violent exertions and the adrenaline overload had spent him. He was going to lose. He didn't know it, but Reacher knew it. And Thurman knew it. Thurman was hurrying back toward the gate, hurrying, but slowly. An old man, a heavy coat, awkward footwear, mud on the ground. Reacher called, "Vaughn, don't let him leave. He has to stay here." He saw her move in the corner of his eye, a small, soaked figure darting north. Then he saw the giant launch himself. A crazed lunge across 15 feet of distance. 350 pounds coming on like a train. Reacher felt small and static by comparison. The guy might have been fast on a football field, but he was slow now. His boots churned in the liquid mud. No grip. No traction. He came in on a flailing run, and Reacher feinted left and stepped right and tripped him. The guy splashed down in the water and slid a full yard, and Reacher turned away and was hit in the back by what felt like a truck. He went down hard and got a mouthful of mud and reflexively rolled away and jacked himself back up and dodged and missed the punch from the plant foreman by about 1.5 inches. 2 against 1 again. Inefficient. The foreman launched another big roundhouse swing, and Reacher swatted it away and saw the giant struggling to get up. His hands and knees were scrabbling and sliding in the mud. 50 feet north, Vaughn had hold of Thurman's collar. He was struggling to get free, maybe winning. Then the foreman swung again, and Reacher moved, and the foreman's fist glanced off his shoulder, but not before stinging a bruise from where he had been hit before in the bar, which hurt. Okay. No more, Mr. Nice Guy. Reacher planted his back heel in the mud and leaned in and launched a flurry of heavy punches, a fast, deadly rhythm, 4 blows, right, left, right, left, 1 to the gut, 2 to the jaw, 3 to the head, and 4, a crushing uppercut under the chin, like he was his demented 5-year-old self all over again, but 5 times heavier and 8 times more experienced. The foreman was already on his way down when the uppercut landed. It lifted him back up and then dropped him like the earth had opened up. Reacher spun away and lined up and kicked the scrabbling giant in the head, like he was punting a football, instep against ear. The impact pinwheeled the guy's body a whole 2 feet and dropped him back in the mud. The foreman lay still. The giant lay still. Game over. Reacher checked his hands for broken bones and found none. He stood still and got his breathing under control and glanced north through the light. Thurman had broken free of Vaughn's grasp and was heading for the gate again, slipping and sliding and twisting and turning to fend her off. His hat was gone. His hair was wet and wild. Reacher set off in their direction, paused to collect the giant wrench from where it had fallen. He hefted it up and carried it on his shoulder like an axe. He trudged onward, heavily, a slow-motion chase. He caught Vaughn 10 yards from the gate and passed her, and clamped a hand on Thurman's shoulder and pressed downward. The old guy folded up and went down on his knees. Reacher moved onward to the gate. He found the little gray box, flipped the lid, saw the keypad, swung the wrench and smashed it to splinters, hit it again and again. It fell out of its housing in small, broken pieces. A small metal chassis hung up on thin, trailing wires. Reacher chopped downward with the wrench until the wires tore and ruptured and the chassis fell to the ground. Thurman was still on his knees. He said,
What are you doing? Now we can't get out of here.
Wrong, Reacher said. You can't, but we can.
How?
Wait and see.
It's not possible.
Would you have given me the combination?
Never.
So what's the difference?
Vaughn said,
Reacher, what the hell is in your pockets?
Lots of things, Reacher said. Things we're going to need.